Welcome to 10 Things to Tell You. Why are you making that face?
Why do you say it like, welcome to 10 Things to Tell You?
Welcome to 10 Things to Tell You.
Okay, let's take it again. Hush. Welcome to the 10 Things to Tell You podcast. I'm Laura Tremaine, and I always have at least 10 things to tell you. And you have 10 things to tell, because this is a show where we believe that sharing yourself will make you less lonely. And my guests today who have something to share with you are my children. You know, I only have my family on the show about once a year, and it has been a while since my kiddos, Lucy and Finch, have made an appearance here on 10 Things to Tell You. But I wanted to have them on for this episode for a really specific reason. Lucy is 14, she is finishing eighth grade, and she has had her cell phone for almost 2 years. Finch is graduating elementary school, about to head to middle school. And when that happens this summer, he will get his first cell phone. And so we are here in this kind of middle time where I wanted to do a check-in with them of how they feel about phones and the responsibility and, you know, what goes down if there's bullying. Let's talk about social media, a lot of these different issues that parents think about all the time in terms of teens and their phones. But the kids themselves, like, they feel pretty differently about it. They are digital natives. They have always had devices in their lives. And so when we talk about it in our family, you know, there's sort of just a generational crossroads, if you will. And I thought that this would be an interesting time to sit down with them and kind of formally discuss it. And I was surprised, actually, by some of their answers, by some of their perspectives. I think you will hear in our conversation here that we do think about some of these things very differently. And they're not always, of course, mature enough to understand fully what my concerns are. And also, maybe I'm not always right on some of these issues. And so I loved being on mic with my kids. I'm so excited for you to listen to it. I hope that it gives you a little peek into another family's dynamics on this phone issue, but also maybe encourages you to have your own talk with your loved ones, kids or not, really, about some of these cell phone issues and the etiquette around it, the concerns, if you have them, social media, our habits, our possible hypocrisies. As you'll see, my kids call me out a little bit on my occasional tendency to do as I say, not as I do. There's also one other piece to this episode that you might be interested in. I made Lucy sign a cell phone contract when she got her phone, and I'll have Finch sign it as well. And I reference the contract in the episode, and I also read some of its bullet points that she was made to sign and initial. If you want a copy of that contract, you can get it for free by signing up for my Secret Posts newsletter list. My free newsletter list, this is just a freebie, so you'll land on that email list, but you'll get it for free if you go to the link that I will put in the show notes for you. If you're looking for all the links that I ever mention on these episodes, you can always go to 10thingstotellyou.com. The episodes will come up, so many goodies and links there, including this teen cell phone contract that I want you to have for free. So now to this episode about teens and phones with my kids. I'll let them introduce themselves to you. Hey guys, welcome to 10 Things to Tell You. Before we get started on this very important conversation, can you just introduce yourself to the listeners?
I'm Lucy.
How old are you, Lucy?
14.
I'm Finch, and I'm 12.
And Lucy, you're in
eighth grade.
And I am a sixth grader.
We haven't recorded together in a while, right?
Last time was at our old house.
Is that true?
No, we recorded on the couch. I don't remember what the episode was about.
I think we did an episode about what we had watched during the pandemic.
Oh, you're right. That was here, too.
Told you.
Well, I'm glad we're recording together because this is a pretty big topic that I just see everywhere, which is like teenage screen time. That's what we're going to talk about today. Not just screen time, I guess, because maybe screen time starts when you're younger, but like teenagers and phones. And I sort of wanted to have this conversation with both of you because we are right at the beginning of this process as a family, but we're also sort of in a transitional moment. So, Lucy, you got your phone when you were how old?
Like 12. When I was 12, I got it for graduation when I was graduating sixth grade.
Right, because I wanted you to have it before middle school.
Yes.
And then Finch, you don't have a phone yet.
Not yet.
And you'll get yours?
When I graduate, same with Lucy.
Right. That's sort of our family, like, rule, what we decided. But we didn't really make that up ourselves. We did that because our elementary school culture really encourages that, like, to not let elementary school students have a phone until they graduate. And we were perfectly on board. Your dad and I were perfectly on board to, like, let the school be the bad guy and be like, well, we can't get you a phone until you're ready for middle school. But how many of your friends got phones before sixth grade?
I guess it's more likely now for kids to get phones earlier. But when I was there, there was only a few kids in my grade who had phones before sixth grade. And most of them had divorced parents.
Right. So they had a reason to need a phone.
A lot of the kids in my grade have phones. Mostly, like, the girls have phones in my grade. But I don't think, like, most boys don't have phones yet until they graduate.
Why do you think the girls got them earlier?
Social media.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it, social media. As well as, like, a lot of them do have divorced parents.
Because I follow a lot of Finch's friends that are girls on TikTok. And they all post a lot.
Okay, but wait, let's talk about that, though, because you got your phone, Lucy, when you were 12, almost 13, but we didn't let you have social media until when?
Well, I got Snapchat the next year.
Oh, you were allowed to pick one?
No. I was not allowed to pick one. That was the only one I was allowed to have.
Oh, really?
You said I could pick one, but everyone I picked, you said no.
Okay, well, that's fine. And then I said yes to Snapchat?
Yeah, my birthday of seventh grade, which is October.
You got your phone in the summer before middle school, and I wanted you to have the phone for a few months before any kind of social media, and then I let you have Snapchat, which I was hesitant on that because Snapchat isn't one that I used, and so I, like, wasn't totally sure on the functionality, whereas, like, I feel a lot more secure in the functionality of Instagram, for example, but I know that Instagram is not all that popular with the younger generation, and y'all wanted Snapchat because it feels like y'all communicate on Snapchat, like, instead of texting.
We do. Also, Snapchat is a lot less public than other social medias. You only have, like, friends. It's very similar to texting, except you can post on stories, like, that all your friends can see. But I wanted it because my friends who use that as their way to communicate, they don't use text. So I wanted it so I could be a part of the group chats and stuff.
Okay. And so all you had was Snapchat for over a year.
Yeah.
Okay, then we'll get to that in a second. Finch, back to your sixth grade friends. It's mostly the girls that have phones, and you think they mostly got it for social media reasons or family reasons? I'll tell you, as a parent, what I observed is that during the pandemic, all of the family phone rules went out the window. Like, a lot of the families who were committed to the wait until middle school idea, like, changed their minds once we were in a lockdown situation where y'all couldn't be social. You couldn't see each other. Communicating on your devices was, like, the main way to have friendships for, like, a good year. So I feel like that's when a lot of kids got phones that wouldn't have otherwise, probably in a regular world, might not have had phones.
Yeah, that's probably right. I don't think I know a lot of people who got a phone during the pandemic. But I do know a lot of people that did get, like, some sort of device during the pandemic. Like, some way to communicate with friends, like an iPad or just anything, like any way.
Did you feel like, because, you know, your cousins got phones before y'all did, and some of your friends, but not like your closest friends. Your closest friends all sort of are on the same family track as we are. But did y'all feel, I don't know, like you were late to it or left behind, or did you understand that decision? Like, were you sort of really jonesing for it before it happened, or like, what was your mood around it?
Well, when I got my phone, it was at the same time that 90% of the kids in my grade were getting their phones also. So I thought we were pretty on time, but I might feel different about it now because I know a lot of kids get their phones earlier than they did when I was in elementary school.
Finch, because you haven't gotten yours yet, what do you think? Like, how are you feeling about the phone thing?
Similarly to Lucy, I don't feel like behind because my closest friends don't have phones yet, but like, I feel like I'm just in the right time because most of my, like, best friends will be getting it around the same, like, area.
Okay, and then were you nervous? And so, just so you know how we're setting up this conversation, I'm asking Lucy, who's a year and a half into having her phone. Finch is a couple of months out from getting a phone. So this is why I'm trying to get the two different perspectives. So, Luce, were you not afraid of getting the phone? Because I know you're excited to get the phone. But, like, there's all these, you know, warnings about it. Like, even your school had done, like, all this education around being careful online. And, you know, that was incorporating when you got the phone. So were you, like, kind of nervous for that responsibility and also sort of just, like, having to sort of suddenly be aware of your behavior online?
No. Not at all. I wasn't nervous about any of the online parts of the phone. I was most nervous about breaking the actual phone or, like, dropping it.
Fair. Okay, Finch, what about you? Were you nervous? Are you nervous to get the phone?
No, I'm not super nervous to get the phone because I already have an iPad now, which is pretty similar. I'm excited because then I'm able to use it, like, on the go. So in the car or things like that, like at the mall if I'm with, like, my friends, things just in general.
Have you ever been to the mall with your friends?
Yes, I have.
You have? When?
With Jack and at his birthday party.
Oh, but you weren't, like, walking. You're not allowed to walk around the mall yet.
We were walking around the mall.
Oh, well, this is the first time hearing of it.
That's one of the most useful things about my phone for me is my friends who did get their phones earlier. Like, that was the only reason it was hard for me to walk around by myself and my friends around malls, things like that. Because I didn't have a way to communicate with my mom or, like, tell her where I was and stuff.
Yeah.
And how to find her. So it's very helpful to be able to just text or call.
I agree. I will say that I was super nervous before Lucy got her phone because if you're not inundated with how evil phones are, let me tell you, parents are getting that message loud and clear that once your kids get a phone, they're going to disappear into their phones. You'll never talk to them again. They're going to only want to talk to their friends. They're going to post their whole life on social media. There's just, like, all of these fears for parents about kids getting a phone. And I had a lot of those fears and, you know, even thought about maybe delaying you getting it. But I didn't want to do that because we'd sort of made that deal years in advance and I wanted to honor that. I also wanted you to have a phone at middle school because of everything you're saying. Like, you were starting to do things independently, and it was actually sort of a pain to not be able to communicate with you when I needed to. And so then once you got the phone, I cannot believe how, one, useful it is, useful and convenient because we can communicate and talk, but also, like, I think it's fun, actually, you having a phone, which nobody ever talks about. Like, we have a family text thread. We can share pictures and memes and videos. Like, no one ever talks about that it actually becomes a good form of communication between teenagers and parents, I think. Do you agree or do you not care about that part?
No, I agree. I agree that it's fun, and I also think that a lot of parents are worried about their kids never getting off of their phones once they get one. But a lot of my friends, like, are all super close to their parents, and I can't think of a single friend that I have that is very addicted to their phone and won't get off of it. Because all of my friends hang out with their families a lot, and most people aren't as glued to their phones as parents are scared that are going to happen.
Except I have witnessed it. Like, I've been around teens that are just nosing their phone at a family function. And I do think that's a real thing. I think, you know, and I say this as an observation, and also maybe I've even done this myself in a social situation, that if you're feeling awkward or if you're feeling bored in a group setting, that you can just like scroll, you can just get into your phone. Like, and I think that teenagers who, I mean, I say that as an adult, especially for teenagers who haven't really learned to socially regulate in that way, the phone is such an easy distraction. No?
Yeah, it is. We also have some rules about my phone, too.
Right.
Which, yeah. But I don't think even if we did, I'd be on it all the time. But I guess some teenagers are pretty glued to their phones. But I honestly think that if, like, your teenager is, you just have to set rules around it.
Yeah, do you want to share what some of our family rules are around it?
Well, like, if I've just been on my phone for a long time, you'll just come in and tell me to get off of it and things like that. And on weekdays, I'm not allowed to, I guess this doesn't really have to do with my phone, but it's similar. On weekdays, me and Finch aren't allowed to play video games, stuff like that, only on weekends. So I don't think me and Finch are very glued to screens.
No, I don't think it's as bad as I was really worried it was going to be. And in some ways, it's super nice that we have screens. Like, I feel like there's a lot of criticism of parents who, like, let kids have an iPad at the dinner table. This is when they're a lot younger than y'all are. You know, like, when you have a little kid that you might put a movie on or something at a dinner table with on their iPad. Which, Daddy and I both, I mean, we did that. Like, if we were at a nice dinner that we wanted to enjoy, I had absolutely no problem setting you guys up with an iPad. And when you travel, long road trips, volleyball trips, on the airplane, I don't care if y'all are on the phone for the hours, not the phone, iPad if you're younger, but on a screen for the hours that it takes that we're just trying to kill time or get somewhere or whatever. Like, that's just like not a problem for me. And I think it's painted as a problem, like being on a screen, video games, etc., is going to like rot your brain.
Yeah. I feel like we kind of had a rules, like we had family talks before I got my phone about how to not abuse it and not always be on it. So I don't know. I was prepared to not be glued to it. And I didn't have it for so long that I wasn't just going to get it and never get off of it, you know? So I think being glued to it, part of that could be getting your phone way too early and just kind of it always being there, or just not having any rules or conversations about it.
It's not every day that you find a product that you truly love and want to shout about from the rooftops. Well, friends, I have found something that I am genuinely excited to share with you today, and that is Born Shoes. Born Shoes are made with the best top quality leather with functional stitching and flexibility. They are lightweight, but they're also supportive. They are great for all casual occasions, extremely comfortable, and especially good for travel. The brand recently gifted me a pair of the Ithaca style sandals. Of course, they are beautiful. The footbed has extra foam for added comfort and with a slight heel for lift. I am positive that I could walk all over London in this pair of shoes, just like I did in my Born sandals last summer. Born Shoes offers sandals, flats, boots, and heels in several styles and color choices. Take comfort in Born Shoes. Every season, they make high-quality shoes that feel as good as they look. With artistic touches, unparalleled craftsmanship, and exquisite materials, Born designs shoes to satisfy the demands of every lifestyle. Go to bornshoes.com for a 15% discount plus free ground shipping on all full-price shoes when you use my promo code TELL. That's Born, B-O-R-N, shoes, S-H-O-E-S.com, and use promo code TELL, T-E-L-L, for 15% off and free shipping. Available exclusively to our listeners for a limited time. Well, I made you sign a phone contract, remember?
I forgot about that.
Finch, there's a phone contract that you're going to have to sign.
Is it provided by you or by, like, the school?
No, by me. Actually, you know who provided it was Miss Julie, one of my best friends, she created one for her daughter, and she has an older child. And so I stole it from her. I give her all the credit. She kind of wrote it. She took it from several different, she kind of combined different teen phone contracts that she found online and created her own. And then, well, I just stole it, basically. And I made Lucy sign it. And, you know, I before we recorded this, I looked it up and, like, read back over it because it's been almost 2 years now. And I'll read you some of the points that are on it in a second. But I feel like you've done a really good job of sticking to it. Even if you forgot that you signed it, you have done a pretty good job of sticking to it.
Yeah, I probably just got used to the rules. I don't even think about them anymore.
Finch, what are you – do you have any fears about getting a phone?
No, not really. Just mainly excitement.
And then if I do the same rhythm, because you also have an October birthday, you guys are born in the same month. So if I do the same rhythm where Lucy got a phone in the summer and then I didn't let her get any kind of social media until her birthday, so a few months later, because I wanted her to just get used to having a device on her at all times, you know, taking care of it, not losing it, not breaking it before we went to the social media route. And then, as she described, she got Snapchat. And then a year later, it took her more than a year for me to acquiesce to her to get a second social media app, which we'll talk about in a second. Do you have any ideas what you might choose as your first social media app?
No, I haven't really thought about it yet. But I also don't know, like, what restrictions there are on what I can get.
Do you have friends that are already on social media?
None of my closest friends, but, like we were talking about, a lot of the girls in my grade.
Like, is there a social media app that you kind of think would be fun to either post on or browse?
Yeah, I think TikTok would be fun to post on or browse. I just don't think that you might not let me get it.
That was not one of my options for my first social medias.
Okay, listen, I was more scared of TikTok than I was of you getting a phone, like getting a device.
I understand that, but TikTok is not more dangerous than Instagram.
Okay, well, unpack why you think that.
It's the same thing, but two different apps. TikTok can't, like, you can find bad stuff on TikTok, but you can on Instagram as well.
You don't think that the filters or the whatever are more intense on Instagram?
No way.
No, they're not.
Because they're both equally as big. TikTok might even be bigger, so they have the same restrictions, like they have the same filters. Like, if anything, TikTok has a stronger filter than Instagram does.
But TikTok, which, listen, I got a TikTok account sort of in advance of letting Lucy on it because I hadn't been on TikTok at all. I'd only heard all these horror stories. I feel very familiar with Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, but TikTok I had avoided all this time because of sort of security issues that I'd heard and mass disinformation campaigns and, you know, predatory behavior. And I just feel like teenagers are susceptible. By the way, I've always said this to y'all. Adults are susceptible to this too. So this isn't an insult. It's just a little bit of a maturity and developmental issue that teenagers are particularly susceptible to harmful ideas that I was afraid was going to come through your TikTok feed, things that might have never occurred to you or suddenly going to come through your social media feeds and plant a seed in your mind of something that could be dangerous and harmful or that could be a judgment of others or that could give you some, I don't know, conspiracy theory idea or something about things that I just don't think you're ready to sort of tackle. I was worried about that. So anyway, I got on TikTok, you know, a few months before we let Lucy on to sort of kind of figure it out. And I don't know, it could just be my personal algorithm, but it does seem like it's a lot, like it's a lot less filtered than what's coming through my Instagram.
But well, you got Instagram way before you got TikTok. So what if that happened on Instagram? Well, also social media has way changed since you got Instagram. And also, like, I don't think it's that it's like harmful behavior because Instagram is the same way. You've just decided what you've liked, and that's what comes up for you. TikTok at the start, same with every other social media platform, it gets what you're into. Like, that's what the For You page is all about. Like, what you like is what is going to come up. So, based on which videos, like, you watch fully or, like, you like, are the videos that you're going to be seeing more and more often. So they were just giving you a variety of videos when you installed TikTok.
Okay, but why do you know so much about TikTok when you're not on TikTok?
I know a lot about things.
Okay.
No, okay. Your Instagram feed has had years to develop the way that you want it to see, the way you want to see it, the videos you want to see. Like, I've watched Instagram with you, and a lot of them are about books, about dogs, things that you like. And your TikTok feed hasn't seen you before. They don't know what you like yet. And so then if you created a new Instagram account, it would be the same way.
I agree.
You'd see the same kind of videos. And I think one of the reasons you hear all the stories about kids in TikTok is because there are a lot more kids on TikTok than there are on Instagram. So if it was the same platform but swapped, like parents and stuff were on TikTok and then kids were on Instagram, you'd hear the same stories.
Like, you think they're working basically the same way?
They're working the same way, but TikTok is primarily kids.
Every social media is like that.
Yeah.
You all are making good points. My worry is that some of the people who are doing more of the harmful content that I'm afraid is going to come through your feed, I feel like, and this is just my mom perspective, that those are more TikTok creators because maybe they're younger people and they're creating content for younger people who are more on TikTok versus possibly that happening on Instagram as much.
It's the same thing. It's just, like we said, it's because you're not, like, the target, like, audience for what, if someone's trying to do harmful things, who they're attacking. That's not on your feed. But it's, I assure you, it is the same on Instagram.
There are plenty of bad stories about Instagram, too. They're just not always targeted towards kids because
exactly.
Less kids are on Instagram. And, like, things like that, those stories that you've heard on TikTok aren't likely to come on my For You page because of things that I like, things that I enjoy watching. It knows, and it tries to bring me those things. Same with your feed. You're probably not going to come across them on Instagram.
So we let you get TikTok when, for your birthday? How long have you had TikTok?
It was, like, December, I think.
Okay, so you've only been on, like, months?
November. I had it for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, okay, so a few months you've only been on. Less mm-hmm. than 6 months. What has been your experience on it? Like, do you think it's fun? Do you think it's boring? Is it what you would sort of spend your time scrolling, wasting time with? Like, what's your impression now that you're a few months in on TikTok?
I like scrolling through it. I like watching my friends' videos and making dances and stuff with my friends. I think it's fun. But I also like scrolling through it, and I think I can learn from it, too. Like, there's interesting things that you can learn from it, and I like watching things.
Okay, but when you say learn from it, that's what makes me nervous. I just don't want you to learn the wrong things.
I'm literally not.
Okay, but I will give to you that just the other day, you got new bedding, you got a new duvet and duvet cover. And Alex, your cousin who lives with us, she came and showed us a hack for putting the duvet on, and she had learned it on TikTok.
Yeah, that's what I meant by learn. I'm not learning how to do math on TikTok. I'm talking about things like that.
I know, I get it. I do get it.
I don't think there's any more harm on TikTok than there is on Instagram.
Okay, but Bub, you will not be allowed to get on TikTok right when you get a phone.
Mm-hmm.
I think there needs to be a buffer period where you're learning to use the phone, like I said, and, you know, starting to navigate algorithms and whatnot. Even though, you know, I will say this as a caveat, I've let y'all be on YouTube for years, long before you had phones, when you both had iPads. And, like, truly, YouTube has many of the same problems that I'm concerned about. There are crazy people on YouTube. Also sending out disinformation. Also, sometimes I feel like it's, like, adult content I'm worried that you're going to come across. That's always made me nervous. Have y'all ever come across something that you knew you shouldn't be watching? Are you scared to answer that?
No, I haven't come across anything that bad. That's also one of my biggest arguments I always had about you, had with you about not being allowed to have TikTok or Instagram, because YouTube is the same to me.
Yeah.
It's the same content, the same ways. YouTube Shorts is the same as scrolling through TikTok. So I didn't understand what the difference was.
Well, a big difference is you already mentioned that before you had a phone, we have a pretty strict, there are very few exceptions to our family rule of no screens on the weekdays. And so even if you were watching YouTube Shorts on your iPad before you got a phone, it was kind of just by natural, like a naturally very limited time period, because you were only allowed on screens on the weekends. And our weekends are pretty full and busy. So the difference is you have TikTok in your pocket all the time now. And that's a lot of time for something crazy to creep in.
See, I usually watch on YouTube, like, not YouTube Shorts. I watch, like, the full-length videos. And I get to choose what I watch. So if something bad were to come up, I just wouldn't click on it. And I would just, like, ignore it rather than, like, on, like, if I'm scrolling through something, I don't control what comes up.
Well, it's the same. Isn't it the same function? Isn't it algorithm still?
Yeah, but if I don't want to watch that video, I just will ignore it, choose another video, that's fine, and then it will stop recommending me stuff like that.
Yeah, but I think that's true on TikTok, too. You can, if there's a video that starts playing on TikTok or Reels or anything, and you're like, oh no, I don't like this at all, for whatever reason, you can just swipe it away and the next one starts. And when you swipe it away after just a few seconds or whatever, it is noticing that you didn't like it.
On TikTok, there's a button you can press. If you find a video you don't like or something that's bad, you can click don't recommend me stuff like this.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
On YouTube, like, let's say it keeps giving me stuff that I'm not interested in, or if it's, like, bad, there's a button that you could press that's, like, don't recommend this channel anymore. And so if I just press that, nothing of that sort will come up. I've only had to press it a few times, and it wasn't because of, like, a bad thing. It was just because I wasn't interested in, like, the video game or whatever they were talking about.
Okay. Let's talk about, like, either bullying behavior, or if bullying might be too strong of a word, but if there's, like, you know, Lucy mean girl behavior. Have y'all had this sort of thing happen where, you know, somebody makes a video about someone else, or they're making fun of them, or they're alienating someone, or they're, and I mean, these aren't strangers. These are maybe people that you know making these videos at your school, friend group, acquaintances. Like, have y'all had that happen? Is that a thing that is happening in your communities?
No, because I don't think people would post about somebody else, because even if they're thinking, or if they don't like a person, they're not stupid enough to post about it where everybody can see it.
Okay, but we know of one incident. Now, that was years ago where that happened, but it was on Snapchat.
Yeah, I think, well, I haven't seen it since.
That was several years ago. And I do think now the thing about making videos and posting them is that people can screen record or whatever and then turn it into the principal. Like, people get in trouble.
Yeah, people my age know not to post.
Yeah, we just know better. Like, you're allowed to not like somebody, just like you can't post something online about it, because that could always be easily saved by somebody. And then, yeah, you can get in, like, real trouble if you say something bad or, like, make, like, a video, like you said, bad about somebody else. But I haven't come across that yet. Like, I haven't come across of anything happening online that was, like, bad yet.
What about these things like Snapchat parties where, like, this is, like, a local thing, so this isn't, like, you know, national strangers or whatever, but where people are, like, announcing their party on Snapchat, and then what? If you see it, you're invited? Or how does it work?
Actually, most of those are on Instagram.
Oh, on Instagram.
You follow the Instagram account, and then they'll announce the address, things like that. But I don't have Instagram, so the ones I've seen are on Snapchat, and it's kind of like, well, I wouldn't want to go to those anyway because you don't know how it's going to be. I don't think you should post. It's basically saying swipe up or like join this story to come to this party on whatever date. And it's mostly people, so like our school district, it's mostly somebody from the school district, and then kind of everybody you're added to on Snapchat are probably people from all the schools. Mm-hmm. So it's still dangerous. You still shouldn't do it, but it's mostly people from all the schools. So you're not, I don't know. I think it's a bad idea, but it's inviting everyone from all the schools to a party, kind of.
How do, like, does the person who's inviting people, do the parents know or do they just do it?
The parents have to know. You can't just invite hundreds of people to your house.
So they're just okay with having a party like that?
I guess so. But yeah, then there's other versions of it. Like some people have a party with their own, they pick all the people, they make the list, and they make a Snapchat story for it. So it's a private story with the people they added to it and are like, just, and they're like, you can come to this, basically.
So it's more like it's not going to spread or whatever. It's more just like, these are the people I've invited.
Those are more concerned. Yes, those are more like that. And so those are the only people that are allowed to go to those. But then there's people who invite anybody.
I can't imagine.
With sunshine, outdoor activities, and so many fun things to do outside, it is impossible not to enjoy all of these good weather days up ahead. Of course, we all know that more sun and fun means more sweating and, yes, more odor. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Lumi. Lumi is the first of its kind in the full body deodorant world and is seriously safe to use on any and every part of your body. It was created by an OBGYN who saw firsthand how regular body odor was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. I especially love that Lumi deodorant is baking soda and paraben-free. It is also pH balanced for safe use on all areas of your body. You can choose from a variety of fresh scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, and toasted coconut. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like a mini body wash or deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code U at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to 40% off your starter pack when you visit Lumi, L-U-M-E, deodorant, deodorant.com and use code U, Y-O-U.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
So we've allowed you to have Snapchat, and then now we've had a few months of TikTok. Do you want to be on Instagram?
I mean, it wouldn't be harmful for me to have it. I like it because I think it'd be fun to post photos if I went on a trip or something and to follow my friends because I know they post photos and stuff. But I'm not crazy eager to. Like, out of all the social medias, that wasn't my top choice for one because my friends aren't on it a ton.
And are they on it just as themselves versus, like, you know, we know that in your volleyball world, a lot of the girls, and actually we have friends in other sports, that they have their sport as an Instagram, which I know why they do that. That's sort of a different thing. But are your friends on there also just as themselves?
Yeah, they're just on there for themselves, just to post what they did today or, like, just normal things.
Right. Well, and you see that I'm on Instagram.
Yeah, but, I mean, I guess you have your work Instagram and then your, like, close friends Instagram or whatever. So that's kind of different, but you post, like, family photos, whatever. That's kind of what my friends do, but photos with each other, stuff like that.
Do you feel like I'm hypocritical for being on social media myself so much? I love social media, but restricting y'all?
A little bit.
Yeah, I think it's that you don't completely understand that bad stuff can come up on your Instagram also. It's just as easily as it can come up on my TikTok.
Right, but I'm a grown-up.
You're scared of something that's not prone to happen.
I think you're wrong about that. We hear all the time that crazy things happen online.
But just like Lucy said, if you were to switch and all the parents were on TikTok and all the kids were on Instagram, all the horror stories would be about the people on Instagram.
No, I get that point. That point landed. I'm hearing that. But I don't think we're equals in what happens if something harmful comes through my social media versus if something harmful comes through yours. Now, listen, with that said, I have seen plenty of grown adults be, you know, taken down the rabbit hole, if you will, or brainwashed or whatever by stuff they learned online. And I think we're all susceptible to that. I don't even say that with judgment. I feel like I've had my mind changed and in everything by things I've learned online. I do think there is a difference, though, between grown-ups and kids. I don't think your mind is as developed as mine. We're not equals.
I agree with that. I agree that it's different for a kid to see something bad on social media. But kind of right now, social media is a big thing for kids. I mean, not young kids, like kids my age, 14 and stuff and older. It's like my whole grade is on social media. My whole grade has Snapchat. Like, you're going to be an odd one out if you don't have anything, which is a hard feeling to, like, have. You don't want to be the only one not using this.
Right. I mean, that played into our decision for letting you even get TikTok, you know, despite all my misgivings, was the balance of wanting to protect you, but also wanting you to live in the current world. Like, I didn't want you to not have any social media till you went to college or something, and then you would maybe go hog wild with it. Like, I wanted you to learn while you still lived under my roof, like, how to manage it, balance it, you know, be able to come to me if you had concerns. Like, I wanted all that to happen while you're still the age you are. Because I think there can be a whole separate set of problems when you don't let your kids do anything at all, ever. And then, you know, and then they get to be adults and they just haven't had the natural progression of, you know, learning how to be in the modern world, basically. So, but that's a balance. As a parent, that's a balance, sort of figuring that out. I do want to ask, I didn't know I was going to ask this, but it just made me think of it. You know, I've posted pictures of y'all since you were babies online, because I work online and I share our family life online, and I've tried to always be, like, more respectful about it, and I've always checked in with Daddy that we're on the same page of how I'm handling the way I share our family online. But now that y'all are getting a little bit older, well, first of all, I've significantly cut back. I don't share our family on my public channels nearly as much as I used to. I started a separate family Instagram for, you know, close friends that I actually know, for me to be able to share some of our fun family moments that are just for us and close friends. But how do y'all feel about that, actually, with having had the first 10 years of your life basically pretty well documented online?
I don't mind it. I don't think that it's problematic. I don't think, because there have been arguments going around that you shouldn't be allowed to post your baby because they can't give consent.
Yeah, that's a big argument.
But I don't see how, when that baby grows up, that post is going to be harmful to them. As long as you're being careful with obvious things, like not saying exactly where you are, address, and maybe not even sharing the baby's full name. Like, but
by the way, you know, I did not share y'all's names for over a decade.
Yeah.
Did you know that I called you online Pigtail and Pirate? I did not give your real names.
Pigtail? Why did he get such a...
I was Pirate.
Why did he get such a better one? Why was I stuck with Pigtail?
The Pigtail one had sentimental, like, it was sentimental to me, by the way.
Yeah. Sentimental.
It was sentimental. And when I say that was locked down, you could not find y'all's names online. And I posted a lot about our family. And even on
Wikipedia, it said that my name was Diane and that Finch's name was Darlington.
I know. On Daddy's Wikipedia, it had y'all listed wrong, had your birthdays wrong. It had everything wrong. I was really tried to be considerate of your sort of digital footprint. I never wanted to post anything that I felt like you would have regrets of when you were older. So like I did post family photographs, but like what you were saying about little kids not being able to give consent, I understand that argument. I also think it's not 100% cut and dry as that. And that there was a time period, this seems to have lessened quite a bit, but there was a time period like when y'all were babies, when people were sharing a lot about their kids. Like maybe they were sharing embarrassing stories that were cute little kid stories from an adult perspective. But I really can see when you got older, you know, you don't want your potty training story out there or like your first boyfriend or something, you know, like little silly things that seem silly, but like you might really be like, I don't really want the whole world to know that necessarily. That's the difference.
Yeah, I agree. And there's a lot of family pages who are very like popular, like millions of followers, and they've been sharing, documenting their whole life since their kids were babies. And as the kids grow up, they don't want that all to be out there. But the parents don't want to take it down either because of how successful it's made them.
Right.
And a lot of kids are kind of forced into the life of social media and forced to make videos, even like forced to be in fake relationships, things like that. And
how do you know about this? Do they talk about, who talks about this?
Well, there's a girl in the school bubble who's very famous on social media.
At your school?
Not at my school. At a school in my district.
Oh.
And, I mean, she still posts, like, on her... She has millions of followers, and she still has to post, but...
Wait, and she got famous from having... Because her parents posted about their family?
It wasn't her parents. It was her nanny. But...
Oh.
She became very famous from that, and she's kind of... Still has to be a part of that social media bubble. And I don't know if she likes it or not, but... You can't really just disappear out of that because then people are going to get, it's just, you can't disappear out of things like that.
Yeah. That is complicated.
I've heard of a lot of stories like where the parents are really pushing their kids into doing stuff like doing videos, making videos, like family channels. Like it's gone as far as like the kids like are really mad and like have taken it to court. Things that, like, I feel like are unfair for the kid, especially, like, since they don't get a say in what's being posted. I think the baby pictures is different. Like, I think that a mom is allowed to post a photo of their kid. Just, like, the embarrassing stories might be a little bit different, as well as, like, yeah, so the embarrassing stories is much different than just a baby photo that's harmless. But, like, forcing your kid to make content, I just think isn't right because if they don't want to do it, they shouldn't be allowed, they shouldn't be forced to do it. I think it's different if they are like really into it, if they like making videos and stuff, it's different. That could just be maybe even a bonding moment between the parents and the kids. But a lot of times I know it's not and the kids are really, they don't like it.
Do you feel like I'm forcing you to make content with me right now?
Yeah.
No. I mean, you asked us if we were fine doing it. It wasn't like you made us.
You must make a podcast episode with me.
I think Daddy has sometimes felt like I forced him into content. Let me just read. I want to read a little bit of the phone contract that Lucy, you signed, even if you don't remember it. And Finch, you will be made to sign in a few months when you get your phone. I just want to see if this kind of resonates with you still at all. Okay, I'm just going to read what it says at the top. Congratulations. We believe that you are responsible and have shown the use of good judgment, and because of this, you have earned the privilege of having a cell phone of your own. And then there's a bunch of kind of like bullet points that you have to initial each one to sort of acknowledge each one. And I'm not going to, there's like 20 of them, so I'm not going to read every single one, but I'm going to read some of the ones that I think were most important to me and that I think are just notable. So the very first one is, it is my responsibility for keeping my phone charged, having a case on it at all times, and knowing where my phone and charger are. If I lose or break it, it is my responsibility to replace or fix it.
I've been good about keeping my phone charged.
Yeah, you have?
But I do remember this one time I was at a bat mitzvah and my phone died. And so then I had to use my friend's phone to contact my mom. And I got in a lot of trouble when I got home.
Yeah, you got in huge trouble. Because I was mad. Not because, I didn't even remember that that was in the contract, but because to me that's an inherent part of having a phone is I need to be able to reach you. That's why you have the phone. You do not have the phone for TikTok. You have the phone so that I can reach you. And so if it's dead, I can't reach you. And also that party you were at happened to be at the beginning of your middle school years, and I didn't know very many of your friends yet, let alone like had their phone number to be able to reach you. So it was not great.
Well, okay, I used one of my closest friend's phone to reach you that you knew since first grade. That was different.
I know. That was fine, but like I was still
annoyed. And her mom was there contacting you as well, and they drove me home.
Well, it's stuck. It's stuck in both of our minds as a moment.
That's why you should give me the iPhone 15 so it never dies.
Okay. How about this one? I will let my parents know every login and password. I will hand my phone to my parents anytime they ask, and I understand that my parents have a right to look at my phone whenever there's a need for them to do so, even without my permission. Now, I am curious what y'all think about this in terms of, I don't know, privacy. Like, do you feel entitled to a certain amount of privacy to your phone that I'm basically saying, no, ma'am, I own this phone and I will check it whenever I want?
I mean, I think you don't ever really feel the need that you need to go through my whole phone because I don't.
But does it make you worry that I could?
No, I don't really care if you, like, you can see the conversations with my friends and stuff. It doesn't really.
Have you ever had something come through your phone, like a weird text exchange or email or I don't know, anything that you thought, oh no, if my mom saw this, like, shoot, I don't want to be.
No, I don't get weird texts. I get spam texts that are really annoying. I don't get texts that I think you would get mad at me for. I don't send texts that you would get mad at me for if you looked through my phone.
Well, Finch, we found out this week that there was someone texting you on your iPad. So you weren't the one that was saying something unpleasant, but someone else was. When that was happening, were you stressed I was going to see it?
No, because it didn't affect me too. Like, I don't think the person was super mad at me, more as they were like, kind of instead like just angry in general. Mm-hmm. So I respected that and I didn't take it personally.
Did you feel like you needed to come tell me?
No.
Okay.
Wait, can we pause so I can hear the tea?
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Here's one that I was glad was in this contract that I stole from Miss Julie. I will not use my phone during meals, period. This includes meals at home, at a restaurant, or at a friend's house.
Okay, I guess there have been times at home, if we're sitting having a very casual dinner, if my friends are texting me, I might respond. So I guess maybe I've broken that rule, but I've not been on it a whole mealtime. I don't think I ever need to be on my phone during meals because we talk or we watch TV or something. It's nothing like, I feel like nobody should need to be on their phone during meals.
I just think, kind of like what she said, you don't need to be at, like, on your phone during meals, but I don't think that rule has to be super strict, especially because our family doesn't always go out to dinner. Like, sometimes we just have, like, a casual scrounge dinner. I think then it's, like, sort of acceptable if, like, the TV's on.
Yeah.
And then, like, we all get in, like, our own world eating dinner. I think that's way different than if you're, like, out, like, having conversations and stuff and you're on your phone.
I also think if anyone is guilty of this in our whole family, of being on their phone at a meal,
Daddy! It's...
No.
It's me.
It's, yeah.
Oh.
Yes, it's definitely you if anyone's guilty of that.
I mean, I try to be aware of it. Not, I do. You know, I try to be aware of it, not for my own self, but because I know that I'm setting a tone and y'all are paying attention. And I, you know, but I will say that I'm the worst in the family about that, probably. Okay, here is another one that I think is super important. This is actually the last one on the contract, and I'm skipping quite a few other ones that are mostly just about not using your phone to do anything mean, observing proper cell phone etiquette in public. But then there's this last one. I understand that my parents love me and they want me to be safe and out of trouble. As such, I will answer the phone if my mom or dad calls, and I will text or call back right away if it is missed. Mm-hmm. Now, whoever wrote this was very kind in writing that specific bullet point, because I would have written it a little more direct, like, absolutely 100% of the time, you will pick up the phone when I call.
I think that rule should go both ways, actually.
I answer the phone when you call.
Well, sometimes if you miss it, you don't call me back.
I do if I know that I've missed it. If my phone's off or something and I can't see that you've missed it, I mean, that's just how life happens. But if I see that you have called me, I call you right back, or text. You know, if I can't call you back, I text, is everything okay? And I, let me tell you one thing about why I feel actually really strongly about this one. It's worded in the contract out of love and safety. But something that made a huge impression on me when I was a kid is my dad, grandfather, you know, was a lawyer, busy man, and he had a rule, like a personal rule for himself, that when we called, now this was pre-cell phone days, so if I called his office, and again, pre-cell phone days, so calling people wasn't maybe as frequent as it is now, but he would always take that call. If he was in an important meeting, his assistant knew to put that call through. If a kid, if one of his kids called him, he answered it. And we knew that, and we took that seriously. And I always felt like really an important priority to him, because that was the rule. That he, you know, it just really made an impression on me. Now, I don't know that that always has to be the case of, like, again, it was a different time. So communicating on the phones wasn't sort of as casual or as frequent as it is now. I'm not saying I would step out of every meeting ever to take y'all's call. But the seriousness of family responding to them when they call or text is important to me. And so I feel like that was a good bullet point on here, but especially for kids, because if I'm calling you and you don't answer, or I text and you don't answer back in a timely manner, I start to get worried.
I know. I think I always answer your calls unless my phone has been in another room or I'm not with it.
Yeah, you've been mostly
good
about it.
Even then, I'll call you back. I just sometimes I'm not holding my phone and I'll miss it.
Yeah, you have been pretty good about it.
I mean, I was in the middle of a Fortnite round last night, and I answered your call.
Yeah. So.
Am I supposed to say thank you? Because
yes. No. A Fortnite game is a Fortnite game.
It was also really intense, too. Like, there was only four kids left, and I had to hang up with my friends to answer that call.
Okay. Well, I guess thank you for answering the phone as you're supposed to. Okay, do we have anything else we want to talk about? Finch, do you have any questions for Lucy about getting a phone? Do you have anything you want to say just about, what are we, 3 months out from you getting your first phone?
I think we covered most of it. Like, I don't have any questions yet.
Okay. We did it, y'all. I love being your mom, and thank you for being willing to have a public conversation about things like phones, because this might be an eye roll to you because you've grown up with phones and devices and it's so normal to you, but for parents, this is still a concern. It's a thing we talk about a lot together, and so I really appreciate y'all being on 10 Things to Tell You to talk about this topic.
And parents, it is not as big of a concern as you think it is.
You're really going to convince America.